Usually by this time of day, a report of the day before has lost its momentum. Not so much today, as there's been a lot of chatter about the USDA reports of Monday. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us with Global Commodity Analytics. And no surprise, we're still seeing a fallback and a little bit of reaction from those numbers yesterday.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different angles to look at this report, post-report mindset, Susan. As the first one is, Monday was going to be about corn because the biggest surprises were in the corn, both domestically and globally, but especially domestically. And I think Tuesday, therefore, was going to be about the other commodities. And we didn't know how much the beans and wheat would pick up on the positive winter weather in the hard red wheat belt as far as those fresh 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecasts that we got at the end of the day on Monday, showing warm, dry conditions still for the hard red wheat belt. We didn't know how much the trade would pick up on the pretty negative report. And I'd argue just as negative when you factor in the global numbers for the soybeans. And I say that because we're right back to 124.4 million metric ton ending stocks number with Brazil starting to harvest. And with USDA bumping up Brazil's crop upwards of 3 million metric tons. And so now we're sitting at a 178 crop for Brazil soybeans versus 175 in December. So Monday was about the corn getting pummeled, beans and wheat watching it more or less, and the spreads reacting to the big shock in the corn. I think Tuesday was more about the beans finding a lot less friends and a lot less support in the meal market, especially finding a lot of support coming out of the bean oil market thanks to the crude oil rally.
So that leads into a lot of geopolitics that has continued to filter. And you and I have had this conversation over the last couple of weeks that we would continue to see the buildup into 2026. And now it's having an effect on the way the beans and the cattle are reacting to trade.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, this is, again, you said it right just then, that we have been talking about the wheat and the crude oil being a really key element to the overall commodity markets in 2026 since Thanksgiving. And it's really starting to pan out that way. And what I found interesting, and I'll leave it at that for Tuesday's trade and see if we continue to see this pattern as we conclude the week. What I found interesting on Tuesday was as soon as or nearly right after the news that President Trump was going to hit and slap 25% tariffs on those countries that have a large trading relationship with Iran, it seemed to me the soybeans did not take that well, and it seems to me that the cattle took that extremely well. And I think that makes a lot of sense when you look at the idea, and I've seen this in the European press as well as we conclude Tuesday's trade and talk about this, that China may be rethinking the U.S.-China trade deal because guess who's Iran's biggest oil buyer? China. So it's one of those things where I could see the bean trade weighing everything and saying, well, this just kind of does it. This is just too much for us to hold up the beans given the USDA report if U.S.-China trade deal is on the line now because of this one news wire story or this new news story that came out. By the same token, it would really call into question the huge trade surplus that Brazil has with Iran. Their trade has been growing immensely the past 5 or 10 years, and it really would open up the idea, well, maybe we won't be bringing a lot of Brazilian beef into this marketplace. And so I guess I feel like that this is a really key element to Tuesday's trade. Having said that, I want to see how this all shakes out the rest of the week.
What about China opening up more reserve sales again? And it looks like this time seeing some decent grain movement.
I think that's a positive step, Susan, but I also think we're playing defense, especially given Brazil's bean production increase and our export decrease on the same report. And that's, again, why I feel like that the soybeans received the worst supply-demand report of the three majors. And I really do call into question USDA's statistical mindset of adding 4.5 million harvested acres between July and the January reports, adding fresh record yields on top of those harvested acres, and in the top five states. Like, that have the by production, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, South Dakota, almost all of those states, the harvested acres jumped to anywhere from 97 to 98-plus percent of the planted acres. That is very odd historically. You usually get 98, 98.5% harvested soybeans out of planted acres, but corn acreage planted versus harvested usually is 91 to 93.5. So anything over 95, I would call very odd. And I would just say, since doing this since 1995, I don't think I've ever seen a harvested acreage increase of this magnitude and a record yield on top of that. Those two variables going up together makes very little sense, given that if you're adding harvested acres and planted acres, you're probably bringing in more marginal ground at that point. And I think that's especially pertinent given that USDA only took down the yield in Iowa a half a percentage point versus last year, and Illinois down 1.4% versus last year. Clients in Illinois especially are not having that number from those that I've talked to since the report.
Look at the livestock side of it, though. Specifically this cattle market today, definitely seeing some moves and some new highs being put in as they relish the fact that we might still continue to see these lower grain prices we've been talking about.
Yeah, that's a key point. I think what ignited this cattle market all over again, even before the news about the Iran-related tariffs, was the corn feeder spread just lighting up again after that USDA report came out. And this is in the light of the USDA report, the WASD numbers not being very friendly, price friendly, for the cattle and hogs. In fact, commercial red meat production versus December is up 1.4%. Even more important to me was that the fourth quarter beef production number, Susan, is only 1% from the fourth quarter of 2025 at about 6.57 billion pounds. That doesn't make a lot of sense on a declining herd and weights that I think have peaked. So I would question that. But those negative numbers, and we saw a bigger beef import number coming in as well in those reports versus December, those were all pretty much shoved into a closet, in my opinion, because of Wall Street, because of the corn feeder relationship being reignited, and also the fact that this market, I think, really wants to keep a premium intact until we get through calving season. So we're really positioning nicely now with new monthly highs on Tuesday's trade in both fats and feeders. We're really positioning nicely for a retest of the old highs, and that's going to give us an idea of whether that's a double top or whether we can go through those highs. And either way you slice it, I'm really getting excited about locking in hedges for especially the third quarter and the fourth quarter of 2026 as we get to those price levels again.
All right. Sounds good. Mike Zuzulo joining us today for the Tuesday market wrap up. A quick reminder to you that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the market wrap up right here on the American Ag Network.